Parshat Shoftim begins with a general call for the appointment of judges in all the settlements of the land. In its second verse, the Parsha turns to speak directly to the potential judge, first with some general instructions, to judge fairly and impartially, and then with this specific warning. V'lo tikach shochad, ki ha-shochad ya'aver einei chachamim, v'salef divrei tzadikim. You shall not take bribes, for bribes blind the eyes of the wise and subvert the words of the righteous. This is not the first time we've heard this concern in the Torah. A similar injunction against taking bribes appeared back in Exodus, with nearly identical wording. Yet here in our Parsha, Moshe repeats the commandment, taking pains to make sure this is the first thing a new judge hears. What is the urgency driving this repetition? Why is Moshe so worried about the potential for bribery? There is some indication that Moshe was well aware of the great difficulty in finding judges who were impervious to bribery. Just after the Exodus, when Moshe's father-in-law, Yitro, first advised him to appoint judges, he told Moshe to seek out Anshei Chayil, Yirei Elokim, Anshei Emet Sonei Batza, men of strength who fear God, men of truth who hate ill-gotten gain. But a few verses later, we read only that Moshe selected men of strength, Anshei Chayil, from all of Israel. What happened to the men of truth who hate ill-gotten gain? The Midrash Agadah concludes that Moshe simply could not find enough judges who had all of these qualities. Is the propensity for this kind of corruption really so widespread? Several Midrashim from Genesis hone in on the language of blindness in the commandment against taking bribes, in order to suggest that the problem of bribery is much older than the court system, and that its reach extends far beyond the figure of the official judge. One such example from Midrash Tanchuma. V'lama kacha einav shel Yitzchak? Why did Yitzchak's eyes grow dim? Because he looked into the face of his son Esav, the wicked, and because Esav would bring him game and feed him. As it says in Exodus 23, bribes blind the clear-sighted. Ashochad yaver bikhim. The Tanchuma is identifying a remarkable parallel between the language of the law and the context of an earlier narrative. Yitzchak is indeed one of the few characters in the Torah to go blind. The Midrash therefore uses the commandment against taking bribes as a frame for the scene where we are told of Yitzchak's blindness. Chapter 27 of Genesis opens by telling us that Vayhi ki zaken Yitzchak vatichena einav mirot. When Yitzchak was old and his eyes had dimmed from seeing, he called his older son Esav and said to him, "My son." And Esav answered, "Here I am." The two halves of this verse serve to thematically fuse Yitzchak's growing blindness with his relationship to his son Esav. Yitzchak then continues weaving these themes together by saying that he has grown old and perhaps close to death, and then asking Esav to go and hunt some game for him. Vaseli matamim ka'asher ahavti, then prepare me a dish just the way I like, and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my innermost blessing before I die. Yitzchak appears to be requesting these special foods as a condition for giving Esav the blessing. The Midrash therefore implies that Yitzchak knew Esav wasn't really worthy of the blessing of the covenant. Yitzchak therefore needed to be lured with his favorite foods in order to become ready to issue a blessing of good fortune, a sort of favorable ruling that Esav did not deserve. We might even presume that Yitzchak's calling on Esav to hunt and prepare for him his favorite dinner was a well-established dynamic between the two of them. In fact, we read earlier in the story that Yitzchak loved Esav ki tzayid bafiv, because there was game in his mouth. Yitzchak, it seems, regularly indulged in the benefits of Esav's exceptional hunting skills, and so allowed himself to be drawn, over time, towards an increasing favoritism for his eldest son. By the time his death was approaching, and the time to pass on a blessing had arrived, Yitzchak had long since become blind. Literally blind, perhaps, but also blind to Esav's wickedness. This means that, effectively, Yitzchak took bribes. Yitzchak, whom we remember as the ultimate holy man, the one who was willing to give his life for God, even he could succumb to favoring the wicked with just the right bit of influence. That is the far-reaching danger of bribery, and the reason the Torah wants us to be on guard against its seductive power. If it could happen to our father Yitzchak, it could happen to anyone. We have reason to believe that Moshe took the lessons of Yitzchak's blindness very seriously. In the last chapter of the Torah, just after Moshe is buried, we read, U'Moshe ben mea ve'esrim shana v'moto v'lo kahata eno. Moshe was 120 years when he died, and his eyes had not dimmed at all. This is the only time the Torah speaks of eye dimming other than Yitzchak. But in contrast to Yitzchak, Moshe's eyes had not dimmed. Why do we need to know that Moshe died with good eyesight? Yet, if we read this verse in light of the Midrash that attributed Yitzchak's dimmed eyes to bribery, it appears that Moshe was especially strict about resisting this kind of temptation. His exceptional ability to resist corruption became one of his defining characteristics and is therefore mentioned at the moment of his death as a kind of eulogy. In our parsha, as Moshe begins to see his own death approaching and seeks to ensure that the next generation will carry forth the covenant, perhaps he is thinking of his ancestor Yitzchak's failed attempt to do the same. Moshe therefore repeats the prohibition against taking bribes as a reminder of just how widespread this type of corruption is and how it can affect anyone, even the greatest among us, in this age so full of corrupt leaders, men of strength who are willing to turn a blind eye to wickedness for the sake of personal gain. We could surely use this reminder again.